Welcome, Diane. Diane's going to provide us an overview of Amendment 7 to the Highly Migratory Species FMP.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My name is Diane Steffen. I'm a fishery management specialist with the Highly Migratory Species Northeast Branch in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and I'm sitting in for Tom Warren today, who's one of the leads on this action, but he is convening a public hearing in New Orleans today. So I'll be briefing you on the proposed measures in Draft Amendment 7 and the measures in the proposed rules. First, I'll give you some background information that explains why we're considering changes to the management of bluefin tuna, and then I'll be discussing the proposed measures, the next steps, and the next steps in the regulatory process. Okay. Great. Okay, thank you. So Atlantic bluefin tuna is a quota-managed species, and the quota is set by the International Commission for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas, or ICAT. NOAA's 1999 HMS Fishery Management Plan established 7 domestic gear-type categories with quota allocations based on historical landings of bluefin. Only landings of bluefin, i.e. not catch, were counted towards those initial allocations and are currently retained in the current FMP. At that time, there was also a separate dead discard allowance of 68 metric tons from ICAT to account for dead discards, and the United States has used that dead discard allowance for the pelagic longline fishery. In 2006, ICAT eliminated the separate 68 metric ton dead discard allowance and specified that countries had to account for dead discards now within their quota allocations. Also in 2006, the amount of unused quota that could be carried over from one year to the next for each country was reduced from 100% of that country's quota to 50%. Then in 2010, the amount of underharvest that could be carried forward was again reduced down to 10%. Lastly, the annual quota, which has been allocated to the United States by ICAT, has been reduced several times since 2006 from a high of about 1,500 metric tons to the current level of 950 metric tons for a net reduction of about one-third or 540 metric tons. So you can see the effects of these changes in this figure, which shows the United States base quota, or the quota that's allocated by ICAT, the adjusted quota, and the landings trends from 2006 through 2012. The annual base quota for the U.S. is shown in the gray bars, and you can see how it declines from about 1,500 metric tons in 2006 over the course of the time period down to the current allocation of about 950 metric tons. The adjusted quota, which includes a carryover of unused quota from the previous year, is shown in the red bars. And you can see how the adjusted quota in 2006, before the limit was enacted by ICAT, was practically twice what our current allocation is. And you can also see that the U.S. landings have generally increased from a low in 2006, and that the difference between the landings, which are shown in blue, and the quotas has decreased in recent years to the point where we are at a quota-limited situation now. So this pie chart gives the base quotas for each domestic category as allocated by the current FMP for the current U.S. quota of 948.7 metric tons, or I'll just be saying 950. I want to draw your attention to the green and orange slices of the pie chart, which are the longline and purseine quotas, respectively. And I want you to watch how they change over the next few slides, please. So this additional pie chart shows the landings for 2012. When you look at the landings, you can see that the longline category landings in green are a similar fraction to the total as the allocation was in the previous graph, but there were no purseine landings for 2012. And this slide adds adds dead discards to the previous landings pie chart. And you can see now that the slices, particularly for the longline category, are very different. Landings and dead discards from the longline category represent a large portion of the total catch for the United States. The longline category targets swordfish and yellowfin tuna and catches bluefin tuna as bycatch. The category is allowed to retain a limited number of bluefin depending upon the landings of their target catch, and then additional bluefin must be discarded. Since the purse seine fishery has been inactive over recent years, we've been able to use the unharvested purse seine quota to balance the books and account for the longline catch without going over the total U.S. quota. But that means that, unfortunately, about 20% of the 2012 U.S. bluefin tuna quota was discarded dead. Also of note is that dead discards are not estimated in the other fishing gear categories, since we don't have any dead discard data for those categories. So to summarize the current situation and the need for action, it's difficult to account for mortality, for total fishing mortality, and we have limited dead discard information. There are too many longline dead discards. The current allocations to the domestic fishery categories do not take into account changes in the ICAT recommendations or the trends in the current fishery. And we've been relying on inactivity of the purse seine fishery to remain within the overall U.S. quota. And lastly, the longline category vessels may continue to fish even when their bluefin quota is reached. So an abridged version of the Amendment 7 objectives are to prevent overfishing and rebuild bluefin tuna and continue to operate within the overall tax set by ICAT, to optimize the ability for all permit categories to harvest bluefin quota allocations and account for all sources of mortality in the fishery, to reduce dead discards, to improve the timeliness and quality of catch data, and then there are several other aspects of the FMP that really don't fall under any of these objectives, but are things that we are addressing in this rulemaking. The proposed rule in the analysis groups the proposed management measures into six different types. The first is a reallocation of quota, and these measures would reallocate quota among domestic categories to account for the loss of the historical dead discard allowance. The second is to reduce the pelagic longline bluefin interactions with gear restricted areas. Thirdly, we want to increase the accountability and create strong incentives to avoid bluefin with individual bluefin quotas or IBQs for pelagic longline fishermen. Number four, we want to improve the quality and timeliness of catch data with enhanced reporting requirements for commercial quota categories. We want to optimize the fishing opportunity with adjustments to the general and harpoon category quota rules. And lastly, we want to implement several other measures that we need to do under this rulemaking. The first proposed quota reallocation measure is a codified reallocation to the longline category. As I mentioned earlier, since 2006, the ICAT quota recommendations have not included the 68 metric ton dead discard allowance, and instead dead discards now have to be accounted for within a country's quota. And since we've been able to balance the books with carryover unused quota previously, now that we're in a quota limited situation, we need to address these issues with a long-term solution. So in order to more fully and predictably account for the dead discards in the longline category, the proposed codified reallocation measure would take quota from all the categories and reallocate it to the longline category to make up for that 68 metric tons. So this shows how that 68 metric tons would be distributed among the different categories. Each category would contribute a portion of the 68 metric tons based on that category's allocated proportion of the U.S. quota. And the contributed quota would be reallocated to the longline category to account for the loss of those dead discard allowance. The second proposed quota reallocation measure is the annual reallocation. Consistent underutilization of quota by a particular quota category is inefficient for management, and it limits NMSA's ability to provide reasonable opportunities to harvest the U.S. quota and it also decreases the flexibility in the bluefin quota allocation system. So this reallocation would balance the needs of the purseine category, which is historically an important part of the bluefin fishery, with its recent inactivity and the needs of the other categories. And under this proposed measure, for any given year, the purseine category would be guaranteed 20% of its current quota, which is 172 metric tons. But beyond that, up to 75% could be reallocated to the reserve category and used in other categories. The amount of reallocated quota would be based on the previous year's landings and dead discards. So, for example, if in year A, the purseine category landed 30% of its current quota, in year A plus one, they would be allocated 50% of their current quota. And the next type of management measure that we've included in Amendment 7 is the longline gear restricted area. In order to reduce dead discards, we're proposing a gear restricted area in the Gulf of Mexico that would be closed to fishing with pelagic longline gear during April and May of each year. And we've estimated that this would reduce the catch of bluefin in the Gulf of Mexico by about 20%. We're also proposing a gear-restricted area in the Atlantic off Cape Hatteras to reduce dead discards. But in contrast to the area in the Gulf of Mexico, in this area there would be access provided a vessel meets certain criteria regarding historic catch of bluefin and compliance with observer and logbook requirements. And we're estimating that we'll be saving about 46 metric tons with this gear-restricted area. The concept of a gear-restricted area with conditional access was developed because relatively few vessels have consistently been responsible for the majority of the bluefin tuna dead discards within the longline category. The proposed measure would allow most vessels to fish with pelagic longline gear in this area, but would not allow access to those with either a high level of bluefin interactions or those that do not comply well with the observer or logbook requirements. So more specifically, conditional access would be based on the scores for these three criteria. The first criteria is the ratio of target species landings to bluefin tuna interactions, which provides a metric that's intended to eliminate bias resulting from the differences among vessels in size or in fishing effort. The ratio uses the vessel's designated species landings in weight from NMSA's dealer data or weigh-out slips and the logbook information that vessels have reported and the bluefin tuna logbook catch data. The second metric includes compliance with the Pelagic Observer Program requirements. And the third includes compliance with the logbook requirements, including the timeliness of the logbook submissions. Another proposed area-based measure would provide conditional access to most of the areas that are currently closed by HMS regulations, including the Charleston Bump, a portion of the East Florida Coast closed area, the DeSoto Canyon, and the northeastern U.S. closed area. Only vessels that are determined to be qualified using the three performance criteria that I described earlier and that are selected for and take an observer could access these areas. The vessels would also be required to report their bluefin catch by way of VMS. One of the benefits of this measure is that in addition to providing some fishing opportunity for longline vessels, we'd be able to gather data to determine whether the current area closures that have been in place for quite a while are still meeting the original objectives for management of HMS. In order to increase accountability and create strong incentives for longline vessels to avoid bluefin, we're proposing an individual bluefin quota or IBQ program for longline vessels. The quota shares for the I'm just going to give you a brief overview of the IBQ program, and there are a lot more details to it. But the quota shares would be allotted to active pelagic longline vessels, and each share would represent a set percentage of the longline category quota. Based on that percentage, the vessel would also receive an annual quota allocation of bluefin tuna. The quota shares and the related allocation would be regional, so we'd have shares in the Gulf of Mexico and shares in the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantic shares could not be used in the Gulf of Mexico. And vessels would need a minimum amount of quota allocation to start a fishing trip with pelagic longline gear. For the Atlantic, the minimum requirement would be 0.125 metric tons. For the Gulf, the minimum requirement would be 0.25 metric tons. The reason for the difference is the size of the fish that are available in those two areas. And lastly, both landings and dead discards would be attributed towards the IBQ. If a vessel catches more bluefin than the amount of bluefin allocation it currently has, it can finish a trip and land the bluefin, but then it would have to account for the bluefin landed by obtaining additional quota allocation through a lease before another trip could be made. Temporary leasing of the quota allocation would be available. Leasing quota would be allowed between both purse seine category vessels and longline category vessels, and the vessels annual quota allocation could not carry over from one year to the next. Lastly, permitted longline category vessels that are not allocated bluefin shares could also lease quota. And a couple of other points not included on the slide. There would be mandatory retention of all legal-sized bluefin that were caught and dead by the gear, and the targeted catch requirements for pelagic longline would be eliminated. The IBQ shares would be granted to active vessels, and the amount of shares would be based on the amount of target species that a vessel had landed previously and the ratio of the number of bluefin interactions to target species, which is the same metric that we were using as one of the criteria for access to the closed areas. So there would be three share types, high, medium, and low. The quota shares for each of those types, respectively, would be 1%, 0.54%, and 0.34%. So, for example, in a year when the PLL baseline quota was 137 metric tons, a vessel with a high quota share would receive a 1.37 metric ton allocation. A vessel with a medium share would receive a 0.74 metric ton allocation, and so on. And under the IBQ program, NIMS would also have authority to close the pelagic longline fishery when the quota is reached in order to prevent overharvest of the longline category quota and prevent further discards of bluefin tuna. Specifically, NIMS would prohibit the use of pelagic longline gear when the total longline category quota is reached, projected to be reached or exceeded, or when there's a high uncertainty regarding the estimated or documented levels of bluefin tuna catch. We don't expect that it's likely that we'd be closing the entire fishery under a fully operational IBQ system, but because of the limitations for catch for each vessel. But in the short term, during the transition to a fully operational IBQ fishery, there may be relatively high uncertainty regarding the monitoring data, which could result in the closure. Some of the elements of the monitoring program, which I'll be talking about next, would be phased in over a period of time. So we've included some ways for us to account for the quota without that data. Some ways for us to account for dead discards and to estimate dead discards without that data. So we are proposing several measures to enhance reporting under Amendment 7. For the longline category, it includes VMS, which they're currently required to have. They'll be required to hail out for a trip, report the number of hooks and sets for each trip, and then if they do catch bluefin, provide the approximate length of the bluefin that are retained or discarded dead. We're also proposing a new requirement for electronic monitoring and using video cameras which we would use to audit the data submitted on the logbook requirements. And these are the electronic monitoring portion of the reporting requirements for longline are the requirements that we expect will be phased in over the next several years. under Amendment 7, we're also proposing enhanced reporting requirements for the purseine category. They would be required to install VMS, which they don't currently have, and hail out on trips, report their number of sets, and report the approximate length of bluefin that are retained or discarded dead. For the hand gear fisheries, additional reporting requirements would be included for dead discards using our automated catch reporting system, either telephone or internet. They'd be required to report any bluefin, the length of any bluefin that they retain or discard dead. And then this is getting into some of the additional management measures, which would increase our efficiency at managing the fishery. This proposed measure would allow NIMPS to transfer general category subquota from one time period to another time period, which occurs earlier in the calendar year. And the objective of this would be to provide NIMPS with more ability to optimize fishing opportunities for participants while retaining the current structure of the general category time period subquota allocations. This proposed measure would provide NIMPS authority to adjust harpoon category retention limits of large, medium, bluefin tuna, which would enhance our ability to more precisely manage the landing rate of large, medium, bluefin tuna by the harpoon category and optimize opportunities while preventing landings from exceeding the subquota for this category. We're also proposing an alternative to redistributes the angling category trophy subquota the angling category trophy subquota. Currently, the angling category trophy subquota is divided between the north area, which is north of southern New Jersey, and the southern area, which includes the Gulf of Mexico. And our proposal under Amendment 7 would redistribute these land the southern area to include a separate region for the Gulf of Mexico and a separate region for the South Atlantic, which would be splitting the current southern allocation in half. And this shows the northern allocation, the northern area, which begins in southern New Jersey, the South Atlantic area, which would include the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico, the new Gulf of Mexico area. Bluefin may not be targeted by anglers in the Gulf of Mexico, but they can retain a single trophy-sized fish if it's caught incidentally. And in recent years, the trophy-sized quota has been filled by fish caught in the Atlantic before the bluefin entered the Gulf of Mexico. So this would provide more opportunity for anglers in the Gulf of Mexico to retain a trophy fish that's caught incidentally. We're also proposing a change to the start date of the purseine category. We're proposing to move it from July 15th to June 1st to maximize opportunities for the purseine category to catch their quota. We are including a measure that would modify the rules regarding permit category changes. Currently, folks have 10 days to change their category if they get the incorrect category on their permit. This would allow them up to 45 days from the date of issuance to change their category, provided they haven't had any landings on their current permit. We are also implementing the U.S. annual quota of northern albacore tuna recommended by ICAT in this amendment, which would include provisions for carry forward of unused quota as determined by the ICAT recommendation, and allow us to account for any overharvest or underharvest of the quota each year. So the next steps for Amendment 7 are to continue the comment period, which has been extended to December 10th. So if that's important to you, please make note of it. We've extended the comment period. We'll be considering the comments, finalizing the EIS, and publishing the final rule, hopefully in spring of 2014. The effective date of most of the measures will be 30 days after the final rule publishes, and the effective date of the delayed measures, primarily the electronic monitoring provisions for the pelagic longline fishery, are expected to go into effect in approximately January 2015. Please send your comments to Tom Warren. You can submit them electronically, which is the best way for us to receive them. You can also submit them via fax or mail, and you have the address. I know it's getting close to lunchtime, so I wanted to say thank you for your attention to this. And I'll be available during lunch if there are any questions, additional questions beyond any that we're allowed to address here. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane, for a very complete report. Are there any council members who have any questions that they want to ask before you can reach her at lunch? Tom.
And I like lunch as much as anybody else, but in looking at this, when we talk about this council, and first, thank you very much. I think this shows a tremendous amount of breadth of ideas and initiative, particularly the full implementation of EM by 2015. I think that's ambitious and really forward-thinking, so I applaud that. We talk a lot at this council about turning discards into landings, and it seems like at least part of this amendment is aimed at, through the reallocation between categories, almost turning landings or potential landings into dead discards for another component of the fishery. Whether you agree with that or not, or whether you go in that direction or not, it seems problematic. But given that many other components of this amendment are directed at reducing dead discards in the longline fishery, is there any conversation or has there been any discussion about reallocating those opportunities once these discard reducing measures or take effect back to directed bluefin fisheries? Or is that only considered a permanent reallocation to dead discards? It seems like we would at least want to consider a sunset and reallocation to a targeted fishery that allows us to land a higher percentage of our bluefin quota.
That's a good point, Tom. I wouldn't dare think about what is going to be going on in the future of the fishery. And you noted, I think, that it's a very complex and broad suite of management measures. Our hopes are to really make a dent in the dead discards, that being in the pelagic longline fishery, and to improve accounting in some of the other fisheries, so we have a better idea of what's going on in those fisheries as far as actual landing. Well, we know we have a good idea of landings, but so that we have a better idea of what's going on for dead discards in the other fisheries as well. And having said that, we still had that. We still have the problem of the way the and I tried to make that point early on. The way the initial quota allocation was developed in the fishery management in the first fishery management plan, and how it did not include what was actually happening in the pelagic longline fishery, i.e., the total catch for bluefin tuna. It only was including a portion of their activity. And there are really a lot of complexities to the history of the pelagic longline fishery and how they were, how it was determined that they would be an incidental fishery rather than a directed fishery. So I'm not sure that answers your question, but I hope it gives you a little bit more insight into all of the complexities that we've taken into account.
Are there any other questions for Diane? Well, thank you very much for your presentation. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. I must say the management of bluefin continues to demonstrate incredible complexity, as it always seems to have. But that's a comment. My question really is the movement towards ITQs or IBQs, I guess is what you're calling them, for the longline fishery, I think makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons in terms of giving an incentive to the individual fishers to minimize their bycatch and potential discards of bluefin. But it would make a lot more sense if, in fact, it was being considered for the entire commercial segment of the fishery. Is there any discussion of that?
We have not addressed that issue in Amendment 7.
All set? Is there anybody else with any questions for Diane? Okay, well, seeing none, thank you very much. And as the presentation said, if anybody has additional comments, to send them on to Tom Warren. It's 12:42. I think we're going to wait for the enforcement report until after lunch and break and be back at 1:45.